again. Hallelujah. Last time we got together and I spoke with you, we talked about, or I talked about, divine healing, and I didn't quite finish with that discussion. So I thought this might be a good evening to take it the next step. I pray that the Lord gives me His words, that the words that I speak are the words that He wants me to speak, that they are His truth. In Jesus' name, amen. The last time when we talked about divine healing, I pointed out that divine healing is based on what Jesus did. For by His stripes we were healed. 1 Peter 2:24, He bore our sins in His body on the tree so that we could live, so that we might die of sin and live to righteousness, and by His wounds or by His stripes, we were healed. Isaiah says we are healed. But the Old Testament said it, the New Testament said it. So if the Word says it, it's true. We are healed. Everybody is healed. Whether you believe, or whether you're not a believer, whether you've accepted Jesus or not, you are healed. Jesus paid the price for everybody. So you might say, okay, I'm already healed, but I still hurt, or I still get this diagnosis, or whatever. Why is that? Because you haven't received it yet. So there's one thing, there's one thing in having it paid for. The other thing is in having it given, receiving it. It's been paid for. It's been made available to you. Accept it. Believe it, and it happens. In fact, Jesus commanded us. What are we supposed to do? Matthew 10:8 says, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without pay, give without pay. Jesus died and was beaten so that we could be healed in our mortal bodies here on this earth. So we are supposed to go out and do something with that. So I'd like to go over some more points specifically on divine healing. And what I want to start with is getting rid of sacred cows. Things that we've been told from this speaker, from that speaker, what is true and what is not. Well, the best way to see what is true and what is not is, what did Jesus do? So Jesus never went up to anyone and interrogated them to find out what sin did they commit to receive that sickness. He never took them to the courts of heaven. He never went to the Lord and asked the Lord to heal them. He just commanded it and it was done. In fact, you don't even have to be a believer in Jesus to receive your healing. Because one of the main reasons that Jesus spent so much time healing was because the Jews always wanted a sign to know that God was real. And it's hard to argue with the sign of somebody being healed. If you have a leper who is dissolving, their body is just dissolving in the way, and Jesus heals them immediately on the spot, that is huge. And they know that this is real. At that point in time, if they weren't a believer, suddenly they're a believer. And now they want to know more about this God that allows, enables, empowers healing. And so we are to do the same thing. We don't have to just go out and pray for people that are in church. You always hear the story. Go out to Walmart. Go to the grocery store. You see somebody, pray for them. If they are sick, pray for them. Amen. What do you do if they say, well, no? You say, well, praise the Lord, be healed in Jesus' name, and walk away. So you have spoken the healing to them already. Maybe you shook their hand and said, well, all right then, but be healed in Jesus' name and you're gone. and they received their healing. Why do they receive their healing? Because you, who was the person who was ministering healing to them, had faith in the healing of Jesus. Not only that, you have power in you through the Holy Spirit. These two together make a powerful combination. But in order for someone who has been healed to not get sick again, and notice I'm not using the words losing their healing. I'm talking about getting sick again. They need to believe the words of Jesus, that by his stripes, I was healed. If they do not believe that, if they do not truly believe that they were healed, if they allow the enemy to come and lie to them and bring lying symptoms to them once again, then they will think, I lost my healing, or maybe I wasn't healed at all. And the enemy says, all right, I can take care of that. And that happens. So when we minister healing to someone and they receive their healing, then we need to take that as a time to also minister to them about who is Jesus? What is this promise? What is this all about? Why does this work? Why does he love us that much? So you don't lose your healing, but the enemy can give it back to you if you speak the wrong things or you don't have the faith to believe. We know it's true because by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. We believe that word. We have faith in that word. We stand on that word. Next thing, recognize that sickness and disease is an enemy. So you speak to it just like you're speaking to a person. So if someone is sick, you're not speaking to that person when you're ministering healing. You are speaking to the disease. You are speaking to the sickness. Arthritis, get out and go in Jesus' name. You speak to the disease. Now, the other thing that can happen is the enemy can have a spirit that has been assigned to you that is there for the sole purpose of preventing that disease from leaving you. So what you do then is you take authority over that spirit as well. Spirit of arthritis, get out in Jesus' name and do not return. Because that spirit can prevent that sickness and disease from leaving. So healing is also spiritual warfare. So take the authority that Jesus has given us. You shall cast out demons in my name. Use it. Do it. To get that obstacle out of the way so the person can receive their healing. Next thing, get fed up. I am tired of feeling this way. I am tired of hurting. Or I am tired of seeing this person come in every service with a cane, with crutches, slowly walking because they're in such pain. I'm tired of seeing that. I am going to stand against this attack. I'm going to stand against this disease. So you get fired up. The Holy Spirit that's in us is always fired up. The Holy Spirit is always wanting to go to work if we will just release him and let him go do what he is there to do. We get in the way of that. Pastor spoke on Sunday about, do you realize the power you're sitting on? The Holy Spirit is fired up. Let him go. Don't stand in his way. Treat all sicknesses the same. Now, we're human. So let's say you've gone out and you prayed for someone who had been diagnosed with cancer. And you prayed for them and they were healed instantly. And so the next time you go out to pray for somebody, if you've prayed for somebody who has cancer, or if somebody comes up to you and you hear they have cancer, you go, this is great. I've done this before. This is a piece of cake. I'm going to do this. But if somebody comes up and they lost the bottom of their leg in the army, in the war or something, so they're an amputee, and you want to pray for that limb to be extended, for that limb to be returned, for what was taken to be returned, suddenly you go, wow, I'm not sure I can do that. Because it is totally different. It looks to us totally different, but it's not. All diseases are the same. It could be a heart condition. It could be cancer. It could be arthritis. It could be blindness. It could be deafness. They're all the same. And you treat them all the same. The enemy's going to play with your head and say, you don't have the power to do that. Yes, you do. Because the spirit that is in you is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And that's the same spirit that brought healing to the person that had cancer or whatever else you had success with. So just remember that. It's a disease. I'm going after the disease. And Jesus healed all diseases. He didn't pick and choose. He didn't say, I can't do that one, but I got this one. We're to be the same way. Next thing, command, do not beg. Do not go to the Lord and beg him to heal that person. He's just going to sit there and say, I've already healed them. Where is your faith? You do it. Sister Marcia opened with Mark 11, 20 through 22 through 24. That's exactly the scripture you want to stand on. What is that scripture of? Command. We have been given authority to do all of these things. Jesus has given us a commission to go out and heal. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Do it. He did not say, go to the Lord and ask. Go to the Lord, take it to the courts, plead your case. He didn't say to do that. He said to do it. Command it. Command the spirit to go. Command the sickness to go. And it must go. Will it go right away? Did you ask? Did you command it to go right away? The sickness could be sitting there saying, okay, you told me to go. I'm going to go next week. I like it here. And by then, they're going to say, I wasn't healed. It hadn't happened yet. And then all of a sudden, they get to stay. So you command, and you command right now. I command you to be gone, and I command you to be healed right now. Amen. In Jesus' name. Get fed up, command, do not beg. What about with our own selves? Do we have to have somebody to lay hands on us for us to be healed? Or can we bring healing to ourselves? Who is in you? Holy Spirit, same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that same Spirit in our bodies will bring life to our mortal bodies. I'm getting ahead of myself because that scripture comes up in a little while, but we'll bring it back up again. But anyway, that Spirit is in you. So the Spirit that is the power of healing is residing in you right now. So why... if I've got the healer in me, why do I still feel pain? Why do I still suffer? Once again, we are preventing the power from going to work in us. Well, what am I doing to prevent that from happening? It's easier to believe to heal somebody else than it is for you to receive your own healing. Because when you pray for somebody else, you're not feeling the pain or suffering or whatever they're going through. But when you're praying for yourself or you're trying to get yourself healed, you feel everything. And so you are expecting and you are praying for and you are hoping that it's going to happen immediately. And the enemy is sitting right there going, I'm going to hit you with another symptom. I'm going to hit you again with a symptom. And so you're going to command healing in yourself and you're going to go, oh, that still hurts. Wonder why that didn't work. Let's try again. Let's doubt. We can be easily deceived even though we are believers. We are the hardest ones to heal because we think too much. So we'll get into that some more. healing can kind of be broken up into two parts. Faith in God. We have faith in what Jesus did. And power. The power in the Holy Spirit that's in us. So when we go to pray for somebody for healing, what do we often do? We lay hands on them, right? The word says lay hands on. And what can happen when we lay hands on? If we have faith that when we speak and command this sickness to go, that it'll go, and we lay hands on that person, power, right? Life that the Holy Spirit is bringing into our mortal bodies will flow from us into them. Faith, power equals healing. Let's look at Proverbs 4, 20 through 23. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them escape from your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they bring life to those who find them. So stop right there. So that means the word of God has power in it. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, but the word of God also has power. For they are life to those who find them and healing to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flowed the springs of life. Right? Life came from the Holy Spirit in us. So when you are ministering to someone for healing, life flows out of you into that person for them to receive their healing. So this is a powerful scripture. It's telling us multiple things here. The word of God is healing to those who study it, who read it and keep it in their heart. And from your heart, from your belly, flow the springs of life. Healing to all your flesh. All your flesh. John 7:38. The one who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Same thing. So whenever you lay hands on somebody and minister healing to them, that power is not coming from God down to that person. That power is coming out of you where the Holy Spirit resides. It is there. It is charged up. It is ready to go. Let it flow. Faith alone can bring healing, right? We saw that the word can bring healing to all of our flesh. It just might take a little longer. Power is always good. But faith too will get you healed. If you have trying to get yourself healed, your faith will make that happen. Your faith can enable the Holy Spirit to release life into your body and bring healing. Next point, see people as oppressed prisoners of war. If you know somebody that's been sick for a long time, they have probably given up. They truly are oppressed because every day they wake up and they feel the same thing. They feel the same pain. They feel the same sickness. You know, my leg is still gone. You know, they have no expectations. The longer it stays in them, the longer it attacks them, the more they feel oppressed. So look at it as an opportunity to set them free. At the same time, you may want to minister to them so that they make changes to their own lives. Because some of the sickness that comes upon us is a result of our lifestyles. And you want to see these people make a change in their lifestyle. But they may have been this way for so long, and the enemy has such a stronghold on them, that it is hard for them to see how in the world that's ever going to happen. How am I ever going to change from the way I am? I am too weak. That's where you minister to them. You go to war for them, to fight against the sickness that has taken place in their body, to fight against the stronghold the enemy has on their mind to guide them to do the things that are wrong for them. They are prisoners of war, and you've gone in to rescue them. Get clean and stay clean. So if your ministry, so this applies to whether you're talking about healing in yourself or ministering to somebody else. If you are casting out demons out of somebody else, and that demon looks at you and that demon knows a secret about you, a sin that you repetitively do, a willful sin, God's not saying that I will not use you to heal somebody else, but the enemy knows about your sin because the enemy can see you and watch you. And what the enemy will do is he will cause that person that you're trying to deliver to open their mouth and spill the beans for everybody. It's called blackmail. So, keep yourself clean. Repent for what you do, for the sins that you commit. The other thing we need to do is get rid of stress. Stress in our own bodies can bring sickness upon us. Our bodies are amazingly resilient to stress for short periods of time. We can handle tremendous amount of stress for a limited period of time. And then once that period is gone, then our bodies recover and everything's okay. But when we stay in a period of stress for a long, long time, our body is doing things that basically causes it to destroy itself. It generates chemicals and things which normally would do good things for us in a situation of fight or flight. So we're ready to fight and everything, we're on alert and we're ready to go. But we're not supposed to stay that way all the time. And it's like running your car at red line all the time. It'll do it for a little while, and it's fun for a little while, but pretty soon it burns up. Our bodies are the same way. So we need to give it up to the Lord. But the other thing we need to do is listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to our conscience. For if our conscience condemns us, then we will not, for our personal selves, receive our own healing. And we say, well, why is that? Well, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Matthew 6, 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So, this is how we deal with this not being stressed and not being anxious every day. Every day is going to take care of itself, and every day has enough worries of its own. Don't get caught up in tomorrow. James 1, 6 through 7. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. So if you ask the Lord for something in faith, do so without doubting. Don't be on the fence. Do I believe? Do I not believe? For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. So just because the Lord has already paid for your healing, if you are in doubt about your faith in that, or your faith in the Lord, or anything that the Lord has said, the Lord says, well, in that case, I won't give you anything until you get yourself straightened out. Do that first, come back, then see the results. But in this situation where you're listening to your conscience, am I being condemned? Am I being wishy-washy about something? Make sure you're hearing from the Holy Spirit and not the enemy, because the enemy is going to play in your mind and he's going to speak to you as if he's your conscience. And he's going to make you think that you are not worthy of receiving anything from God, or that you are not good enough. Take every thought in captivity. We hear that scripture over and over. Here's a good example of why you need to do that in order to receive the healing in your own body that you're trying to receive. Stay out of pride. Just because you go out and you lay hands on somebody and they are healed, don't think so highly of yourself. Guess what? Everybody's told to do it, and you're just the messenger. You're just the instrument used for the Holy Spirit to flow in them and for your words to do the command that was described by the Word. We're just instruments of the Lord. Be aggressive. Do not give up. What did we say? It's a sickness, it's a disease, they're all the same. Be led by God's character and nature. What did Jesus do? How did he do it? Jesus wasn't always real specific about healing. Now, if he went to somebody and they said, you know, I can't see or I can't hear, or somebody's explained that to him, he would do something specifically for that. Put mud in their eyes, spit in their eyes, or whatever for eyesight. Crippled, stand up and walk. All of those things were specific, but oftentimes he just said, be healed. And they were healed of whatever it was that they were being attacked by. So always look to see what Jesus did. Decide to obey the Bible and not some arbitrary feeling. Don't be moved by a feeling to go do something. Be moved by what the Bible says to do. In other words, if you see somebody and you're sitting there going, I'm waiting on the Holy Spirit to tell me to go pray for them. No! Jesus never waited for the Holy Spirit to tell him to go pray for somebody. He was always praying for people, for anybody that was sick. Speaking of which, what were the reasons why Jesus healed? We said already that one of the reasons was so that the Jews could see a miracle and believe that God is real. The other thing is, Jesus had compassion. If he saw someone who was sick, who was ill, who was injured, he had compassion for them. Matthew 14:14, please. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 9:35-36. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. What is compassion? Well, let's start with the word sympathy. Sympathy is when I feel the same thing that you're feeling. Compassion is when I feel the same thing that you're feeling and I choose to do something to help you. Jesus had compassion, and he always chose to do something to help those who were sick. That's our example. Allow compassion to get you motivated to go pray for people. And we call it praying for people, but we're not really praying. We're commanding, but people are used to being told, may I pray for your healing? Can I pray for your healing? But really what you're doing is commanding. But in any event, let compassion be the trigger that guides you to do that. So we talked about healing right now. Let me give you a couple of examples of cases of healing. Let's start with Luke 17:11-15. And this is also going to point out a couple of other things about how Jesus healed. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. Well, that was the Mosaic law. This is what they were supposed to do. And as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. And then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. So what happened here? Did Jesus go up to them and lay hands on them? No. He just said, go and go see the priest. And so they listened to him. They listened to his guidance. They got up. And when they made the choice to do that, now why were they going there? Because they had to report to him in order to show that they were cleansed, that they were healed, so that they could be allowed back into society. So what did that mean? That meant that they believed that whatever Jesus was telling them to do was going to result in their healing. And so they got up and they did it. And as soon as they got up and they started, they were healed. It was immediate. And then the one, realizing what a miracle that was, turned around and came back to praise Jesus. And Jesus goes on to say, you are made whole. When you're made whole, everything is taken care of. Not just that one disease, everything. So when you are healed, if you will turn back to God and praise Him and glorify Him for what He has done, you will be made whole. John 4, 46 through 53. So he came again to Cana in Galilee where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum, there was an official whose son was ill. And when this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you do not believe. Right? This is what Jesus kept pointing out. You folks always want to see a miracle before you're going to believe. But the official said to him, sir, come down before my son dies. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went away. As he was going down, his servants met him, told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better, and they said to him, yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all of his household. Multiple things happened here. Number one, the person being healed wasn't with Jesus, wasn't there. Jesus did not lay hands on him. Jesus didn't directly command the sickness to go. Jesus just told the man, go, your son will live. And the man believed that. But the other point is, it happened right then, immediately. Not a month later, not a week later. What happens if it's a month later or a week later? People forget about the fact that you laid hands on them. And they think, oh, I finally got better. I finally got healed. As opposed to tying it to an act of Jesus and healing. So the importance of healing immediately is they directly tie it to what you did when you ministered to them for healing. So here you had Jesus speak and the person was healed. Does that mean we can do that? Absolutely. You got somebody on the phone? Command healing. You have faith. You have power within you. You can talk to somebody on the phone and speak healing. Or the person, in this case, the father had faith because he went away and he believed. Jesus always had faith. But the father had faith too, so boom, that's sweet. That's agreement. That's powerful. So you don't always have to lay hands on somebody for them to receive their healing. You just have to believe and have faith. The other type of healing is referred to as healing by degree. So a lot of information that I've been presenting came from John G. Lake's ministry. And John G. Lake had a healing ministry, and he was famous for his healing rooms. And the healing rooms were rooms built onto the church where he was ministering. And that was specifically for ministering healing. And people would come, and he would typically heal 20,000 people a year. And he trained people to do the same thing that he was doing. So other people were ministering to people for healing. One of the agreements that they would have with the person coming for healing is, you come back here every day for 30 days for us to minister to you for healing. And you go, why? Healing in degree. It doesn't always happen now. Why doesn't it always happen now? Maybe it's the amount of faith. Maybe it's their unwillingness to receive because they just don't feel like they deserve it. Maybe it's they feel like they've been through this before. People have prayed for them before. They still haven't got healed. There's a lot of reasons. And I can't tell you specifically why each time it doesn't manifest right away. That should always be our goal. But if it doesn't happen, don't give up, don't stop, and don't change what you're doing. If you laid hands on that person, if you commanded the sickness to go, if you commanded the spirit to go, if you commanded the body to be healed, and you didn't see anything happen, and they didn't see anything happen, and they come back the next day, you do the same thing again. Why would you do anything different? You've seen it work before. You know it works before. You don't change because you're doing what Jesus did and you're staying steady in the Word. And you don't give up. Every time you do that, you're planting a seed. You're weakening the grip of the enemy, blocking the healing. John G. Lake's son got sick. He was not in town, so he heard that his son was very sick. And so he came back, went to the hospital, spent 5 minutes commanding healing for his son. 5 minutes, his son was healed. Shortly thereafter, there was a relapse. Same thing came back again. Was that because the son didn't believe? Was that because the son believed a false symptom? I don't know, it didn't say. But it said he got the same thing again. He didn't lose his healing. He was healed, came back. So this time, John Lake spent 5 hours to get healing for his son. And you go, why? Why wouldn't it have been the same thing? Because the enemy saw who he was fighting against. And the son probably allowed the sickness to come back again. And so the enemy says, I know what we got now. We're going to put up a stronger fight this time. And it took 5 hours. And John G. Lake didn't give up. He constantly praying to God, thanking him for his son's healing, commanding healing, praising God, casting out spirits. Spirits are stubborn. They don't always go. But he didn't give up. But it took 5 hours. So that's why it's so important that when we receive our healing or the person that you lay hands on, that they know what this is all about. That they know this comes from God and they know that the enemy can try and bring it back to them. So what do you do? Probably the strongest way for the enemy to make us sick is by our own words. We feel something and we admit it. And the enemy goes, oh, they got it. Oh, yeah. Let me go to work on this. And they'll plant more symptoms. And it comes and it goes and it comes and it goes. And then you start going, and he'll plant a thought in your mind of, this sounds like leukemia. Let me look this up on the internet. And so then you start looking it up. And you read about it. And you start matching your symptoms to what you're reading, and you're convincing yourself that you're sick. Maybe it's COVID. Maybe it's just the flu. Whatever. Once you say it, the enemy hears it, and he knows he's got you. So don't say it. If you feel a sore throat coming on, do not say, I think I'm getting a cold. I got that sore throat thing going on. No! What do you say? You say, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Take authority over whatever the symptom is. Cast it out. You go to battle immediately. Do not say, I have this. Or this feels like that. Because that just opens the door. Always watch what you say. And if you say it, rebuke it. Say, I rebuke that statement in Jesus' name. I do not have that. Then you start thanking God. As soon as you rebuke it, thank God for it. Thank God for your healing. The other thing you need to do is, if you are hit with a disease or you're hit with symptoms, go to the Word and find scriptures that support your healing. I have a list of 8 or 10 scriptures that Jenny and I read, recite multiple times a day. It is our healing prescription. It's just like, you know, take the pills from the doctor. We take these scriptures from the doctor. Proverbs 4:20-23, Romans 8:11, you know, all of these which speak about healing. Or you go and you look for diseases that are similar to what maybe you have been diagnosed with, and you see how Jesus handled that. And you read that, and you speak it. You don't just read it in your mind silently. You speak it. There is power in both directions with our spoken word. If you're speaking sickness, sickness comes. If you speak healing, healing comes. By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. You just say that every time you feel that pain, every time you feel that discomfort, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And you don't let up. And when it's all gone, all through the day, you still say, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. Why? Immunity. So the enemy can't attack you with anything because you are not giving him any opportunity whatsoever. Instead, you are standing on the foundation of your good health and your healing. Or you say, the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead brings life to my mortal body. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. And the enemy can't break that wall. Immunity. That's your vaccination. The Word of God. So that's what I have to say about divine healing. What comes next? Do it. And you say, well, what if I go to Walmart and I pray for somebody and nothing happens? Go do it again. Go do it again. Exactly. Don't give up. The more you do it, the stronger you get. And when you start seeing people getting healed, your faith will skyrocket. But your pride will not, because you're giving all the glory to the Lord. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we love you. And we love you, Jesus, for the sacrifice that you made. For Lord, you took so much beating so that our bodies could be healed while we are here on this earth. You paid the price. It is done. It is already done. We believe it. We stand on it, Lord. And we declare it day after day after day. We bless you, Lord, for placing your Holy Spirit in us, who brings power to us and life to every cell of every tissue of our bodies and of those that we lay hands on. Lord, we come against the spirit of fear that prevents us from going out and doing what your word has commanded us to do. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. That's what you said to do. So, Lord, may we do that. May we be your ambassadors, your servants. Use us to do what you have already commanded us to do. You have given us every instrument, every bit of power we will ever need to do everything you want us to do. May we release it and may we do it. And in all things, Lord, we give you our love and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.